Friday and a slut love line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
I'm back to ruin the entire operation. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Me, Stryker, along with Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. John and Serge from System of a Down. What's up, you guys?
What's going on?
Oh, man. I'm so excited. I've had the best day ever. Capping off the night with you guys here. This is fantastic.
Thanks, man.
The night's not capped off here, Strike.
We're going somewhere after this?
Of course.
For some food? Other than the cookies?
Well, yeah, definitely food.
Definitely food. You're always hungry, but you're in the best shape of almost any person I know, John.
Yeah, I have a rigorous training routine.
It's these cookies that you're eating, right?
That's it.
Man, Drew, how are you?
Good, how are you? Just now, Trek and I have been sort of working on our boundaries together. So last night he kept reaching across and touching me.
But not out of, like, this. I was so excited. I was like,
yeah. Whatever. Brotherly
love. Is that why? Where do you usually have Adam?
Yeah, I sit there.
Oh, okay.
So why am I sitting here?
Because I feel like sitting here. I'm in charge.
So you're going to pick on me like he kind of picks on you?
No, because I'm picking the calls, remember?
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't know how to use the computer.
It's all good.
No, I don't.
It's all good.
I don't know how to use any computer.
It's okay. I don't even have email, so.
So you guys have a concert coming up.
Hold on, Dr. Drew. I wanted to say something before you get to the concert part. This is very important because we're going to screw around a lot, but also we're going to, I think, educate a lot of people tonight on stuff going on with your Armenian people and Armenian genocide. We're also going to take calls, play some music the whole night. But as Dr. Drew just alluded to, let's talk about the concert you're doing April 24th at the Greek, which sold out like that. Mm-hmm. And either one of you guys, take it away, what it's for, why, who, what, when, where, and then Drew and I will chime in and try to educate.
It's a benefit concert to commemorate the Armenian genocide perpetrated by the Ottoman government in 1915. 1.5 million people were massacred, and it's something that we've always talked about with the band and the press, media, and we actually did a show a couple of years ago called Souls, I think it was in 2000. And raise some money for that. There's a postcard campaign going on right now in the U.S. Congress with getting attention to the Speaker of the House and Senate Majority Leader to vote on a genocide convention.
What prompted that genocide?
What prompts most genocide?
No, but I mean, what was the political situation at the time? Most people, when you say Ottoman government, people go,
The predecessors to the government of Turkey. And it was during World War One. However, the actual genocide was a racial cleansing. And, I think a lot of genocides and holocausts are they use race and religion as an excuse. But the underlying motive is usually economic, in my opinion.
Is April 24th a date chosen for a specific reason, or is that a date that happens to be open at the Greek?
No, it's the day of commemoration of the Armenian genocide worldwide, and it's the 89th, year since the genocide. So, and the important thing about it is the denial aspect of it. A lot of countries in the world have fully recognized the massacres as a genocide. France and European Parliament and Italian Parliament, the Vatican, Russia. However, certain countries still lag behind, including our own Congress here. And the government of Turkey, obviously, is the big denier. And in that way, they're participating in the crime of their predecessors.
Do you feel, Serge, that there's a lot of weight on your soldiers being in the position you're in now to get your point out and teach people about this? I mean, you guys are huge, not just, of course, in L.A. where you're from, but all over the world now. So, I mean, you can really get your voice out to people. Do you feel a responsibility, or do you think you would get this out there even if you were still playing just Roxy shows or whiskey?
Exactly. I really don't feel a responsibility. It's more of something that's, I think, in our hearts. And like, to us, the whole Armenian genocide issue is not even political. We are partially a political band. We do all other sorts of things as well, obviously. But to us, this issue is personal. You know, all our grandfathers are survivors, otherwise we wouldn't be here. And
I wouldn't be here at all if my grandmother's first husband wasn't killed during the genocide.
If he wasn't killed?
Yeah.
Because she took off after that, or?
She escaped, he didn't.
Were there concentration camps or something?
It was similar to concentration camps, except They never really waited for it. It all happened in a matter of a few days.
Huh.
It was not a long-term thing. We were not at war with anyone at the time. You know, it was basically farmers, villagers taking care of their families, and soldiers coming in, killing them, and then moving on to the next village, killing them.
The intellectuals were rounded up. Sorry to interrupt, but the intellectuals were rounded up first so that they won't disseminate any type of revolt or anything like that. And then the men were gathered in the pretense of taking them to war or camps, but they were all killed. Mm-hmm. And then the women and children were sent toward the desert between what is now Turkey and Syria, and they were left to die there. Mm.
Well, if you guys are just tuning in to Loveline, I'm Stryker with Dr. Drew. John and Serge are here from System of a Down. I've known you guys maybe 4.5, possibly 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And when the 24th, April 24th has rolled around, I think I've spoken to John a lot on that day when you guys have had either rallies or gone to maybe at different parks. I can't remember especially what you did. Are you still going to do stuff during the day on that day before you play that night? And do you recall what I'm referring to, John? And then
there's
about
things that take place actually all over the world on that day. It's a, like Sarah
memorials.
Said, yeah, memorials, and it is a commemoration. We don't, you know, we're living in trying times. Many things are happening all over the world that are disturbing. You know, not necessarily just in the United States, but everywhere in the world. And it's difficult for us as Americans to put ourselves in the shoes of others. But in doing so, we help prevent things like the Armenian Genocide and other things that are taking place right now. And it's important to reflect on that and not just reflect on the fact that Armenians were killed, but that people are killed unfairly every day.
Hmm. What's bugging you outside lately, Serge? Not bugging you, but is anything in the world just eating at you that's gone on the last few years? The war?
I got a list.
is it a list? Now, is that list being written down as lyrics in new system songs? Is there maybe a couple songs with a theme of how you're feeling?
Everything in our lives, as far as thematically, come through the music and the lyrics between all of us, Darren, myself, Shavo, and John. And so I'm sure it will reflect it.
Yeah. I think you guys do a really good job of getting out how you feel about things, but without necessarily shoving it down your audience's throat. They can take it if they want, or they can say, ah.
No one wants to be preachy, and no one wants to listen to a speech. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you put things in an emotional realm, and how, you know, if you open your heart and really reflect how you feel, and people feel that, that's important.
Definitely. It's 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's grab some phone calls. We'll talk about it some more. Talk about the show.
Sure.
Maybe play a system song, one that we haven't heard a million times on the radio station all over the world.
Are there any left?
No. Yeah, but I always wanted to play Forest as a single. That is, oh man, I love that song. Which I would throw on every now and then. Prison song as well.
Didn't you start playing Psycho?
Yes, I did, and then everyone jumped on. I was first one on there with Psycho, man. There we go. All right, Rachel, you're 20 on Loveline with 50% of System of a Down.
Yes. My question was that I heard you guys talking about how people that have been abused can't get in normal relationships unless they have therapy. And
well, what we say is that if you have a trauma history, a very common consequence of that is disrupted relationships or inability to maintain intimacy.
Yes, I was just wondering why you say that.
Because it's a fact. And it's one of the strange features of the human being is that everything that happens early in life has a disproportionate effect on everything else that is to follow. That's one strange feature. The other strange feature is that when something really traumatizing happens to you, you keep doing it over and over again. And so you're trying to recreate it and make it right or recreate it and control it. You'll do the same thing that happened to you when you were 3 or 5. You'll recreate that in your relationship
over and over again. What if it happens to you at 14, 15, 16?
It doesn't happen like that.
Hmm.
It may traumatize you. You may have post-traumatic stress symptoms and things like that, but it won't lock you in the way the earlier stuff does, typically. So there you go.
Yes. Put it on hold, Drew. We're segueing on.
All right, go ahead.
All right, well, Jackie. You're 17, Jackie, on Loveline. What's up?
Hey, what's up? I just wanted to say I love System of a Down, and I wanted to ask them something. I'm a really big fan and everything, but there's one question I don't know. How did you guys, start out? Like, were you guys playing in a band, a club or something, and Rick Rubin just discovered you, or, how did that happen?
Good question, especially if you're not from L.A.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm from New York. I'm just in Arizona right now.
You can actually become really well informed on the band if you go on our website.
Okay.
It's www.systemofdown.com.
Yeah.
There's pretty much everything on there that you know would want to know about us.
All right, I think you guys rock, and tell Darren he's the best guitarist ever.
You got it.
Oh man, that was cool. Well, John,
thank you.
Let's talk about new system music, which I don't know when it's going to come out, but you guys have been writing and the music and lyrics.
They're working on it now.
We're actually working on it right now. I was going to set up John so he can mention right Rick Rubin is working with you guys once again. Is that right?
Yes.
And are you guys actually in the studio with them yet?
We're actually still in the writing phase, and we're at a rehearsal studio, so we haven't started recording anything. And, we are slowly starting to work on pre-production.
And does he ever pop his head in and say, hey, can I just hear what you guys are working on?
Yeah, absolutely.
And is that nerve-wracking, or you guys known him so long, it's like whatever he says, we'll take it.
Actually, when Rick comes in, it's really cool when he comes in. We enjoy it. He's such a cool guy. You know, we really don't look at it like, oh, he's our producer, and we have to act a certain way or anything. Mm-hmm. It's more comfortable when he's there.
He's a positive vibe, yeah.
Yeah, very. And he's always got a big smile on his face. Right.
It's like if Stryker were your producer.
Exactly. Right. Except we would get nothing done if
You would get a lot of cookies, but they were delivered to me, and I pawned them off to you guys.
There you go.
All right. Coley, you're 26?
Shannon.
Oh, Shannon, you're 15.
Yeah. Okay, your phone screener is kind of making fun of me on this, but I'm 15, and is it possible for girls to have hernia?
Ah, ha, 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 ha.
Yes, yes, it is.
It is?
Yeah.
What is a hernia?
It's a hernia.
Shut up, John. Bastard.
Hernia is a hole in the wall of your abdomen where bowel basically extrudes through.
Yeah.
Wow, that's not as pretty as I thought it was.
Can't you get it from picking up heavy things?
That stuff extrudes the bowel down.
And what has to happen to fix a hernia?
Well, it depends where it is, but if the typical one is an inguinal hernia, and they can do it now with a laparoscope. They open a space up in here and put a little sheet down in there and close it off.
Why do you think you have a hernia, Shannon?
I don't know. I thought it was like a couple days ago I had eaten some of my friend's macaroni, so I thought I like had gotten sick. I couldn't even sit up straight, and then it's still like that. I can't sit up straight.
It says in Drew's book you can get a hernia from lifting weights or eating macaroni.
Sounds like food poisoning.
What are you
talking
about? You cannot sit up straight. You had vomiting after you ate something?
No, I didn't. I wasn't puking, but at first I thought I was going to, but it didn't really feel.
So you had nausea and then what, abdominal pain?
Yeah, like major bad.
Okay, there's about 10,000 things that can cause abdominal pain and nausea.
Okay.
It's not a hernia.
Way
Drew?
Down the list would be hernia.
Unless it was a heavy plate of food.
What's that?
You never know.
Yeah.
It's like a cramp, like terrible, terrible cramp. And when I feel it, it kind of feels like it's swollen than on the other side. It's like the muscle is bigger than on that side.
Appendicitis.
Down in your abdomen.
Yeah, it's like.
Yeah, because it could be. You need to see a doctor immediately. This could be a hundred things.
Okay.
And some of them could be surgical, so it's not something you can just wait on, okay?
Okay.
Bye, Shannon. There you go. Let's go to Lauren. Oh, Lauren, okay, yeah, Lauren. You're 18, Lauren. What's going on? You're on with System of a Down on Loveline.
Sleeping.
Hello?
There she is.
What's up, Lauren?
I recently just moved to Ohio, and my boyfriend moved to Vegas. And we used to have sex, like, all the time. And, like, I'm probably one of the horniest people I know. And now it's, like, really hard for me.
You don't know John Domayan that well.
Terrible. And I was just about to give you my bass player's number.
Really? Me?
What?
Shava. Oh, Shava. Strike two. Sorry, go ahead, Lauren. You're horny, and you're 18, and your boyfriend lives in Vegas.
Yeah.
And?
What's your question?
I try to control it, but I just, like, I can't, I guess. I don't know. But I was wondering if there's anything that, I could take to make me not so horny or something. I don't know.
Birth control.
Well, Lauren, it sounds a little naive here. What is going on? Are you a sexual abuse survivor?
No.
Were you physically abused growing up?
No.
Are you bipolar? Do you have manic depression?
No.
Anything like that?
No.
So why don't you just are you having sex with guys you don't want to have sex with?
They're fulfilling a need she's after, I'm sure,
no,
right?
But if she's doing behaviors that she doesn't want, really genuinely doesn't want to, and can't contain them, that's a problem. But if, on the other hand, she just, you know, is having consequences and just doesn't want to manage them, but she really wants to do these things, that's a different question.
It's like I do, but once I do them, I regret it a lot.
How many times that happened?
A few.
More than five?
Probably around there.
And how long has he been in Vegas?
Oh, God.
Why don't you break up with this guy? You're only 18. Right. You live in Ohio. He lives in Vegas. I don't think there's any flights to get there in an hour from Ohio.
That's the bottom line. You need to break up with this guy.
And I guarantee right now he's at Crazy Horse 2 hanging out, throwing away dollars.
That really is what needs to happen. You need to give yourself a little room here, break up, and start dating other guys. It's fine.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, I've been like this for a long time, so.
Are you worried that you're overly horny and maybe... Yeah. Sexually compulsive, probably?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was getting. You can't really... It's hard to be sexually compulsive without having a trauma history.
Hmm.
And you're telling me things have been perfect. You're completely delighted with your life, yes?
Well, no, but I mean...
Oh, okay. Well, wait a minute. Magically, it's not that way. What?
I said no, but I mean, my life hasn't been perfect, but I haven't been abused.
You haven't been traumatized? No one ever hit you?
No, not me.
Who did they hit?
My mom.
And who hit your mom?
My dad.
So you had to be around violence in your home?
Mm-hmm.
Was there alcoholism and drug addiction in the family?
Yeah, both my parents are alcoholics.
Okay, that's traumatizing.
So she may have the gene that doesn't know it yet?
Yeah, that's another possibility. This could be part of sexual addiction. You're a trauma survivor, both from the standpoint of having alcoholic addict parents and physical violence in the home. And I bet if you really sat down and started being honest with yourself, you'd find a lot of other things were very unsettling about your childhood. And the way to manage those feelings are to have sex. And so it's really not about being horny. It's about trying to escape overwhelming, painful feelings.
Yeah.
So, you know, are you an addict also yourself? Do you do drugs or alcohol?
I drink quite a bit, but...
Okay, so you may also have the gene of alcoholism. And this could be sort of a sexual... This is all could be alcoholism. The whole thing, coming from an alcoholic family, having the gene, all this... So if you really, it's naive to think that you can take a pill to fix such a complex problem. So if you want to,
because I heard that birth control could control that, but I'm on Depo-Vera,
which is about as powerful a suppressant as you can take from the standpoint of suppressing your sex drive.
Yeah,
it's naive, Lauren, to think you can put something in your mouth and make these complex problems better.
Unless, of course. It's
with John.
No.
Well, not even going there again.
No, I was not going there.
No, Lauren, you need...
You two today?
I don't know. I'm going to start touching
you
again.
You need to start going to 12-step meetings, Lauren. It is a complex process you need to work your way through here. This is not going to magically get better than a magic pill for stuff like this.
Lauren.
Heavy, here we go.
Last night we were talking about more Double D breast girls. It was ridiculous. Line two.
Line two. Hold on a second.
Edward.
Yeah?
That's what? What's up, man? You're 19. I was System of a Down.
Yeah, System of a Down.
Hey.
I just want to say I'm a big fan of you guys. I have all your albums. And, like, I love your message in general, especially Surge, you know, the lyrics.
Thanks, brother.
No, I think we need more bands like you guys out there. And I wanted to ask you guys if you're going to be participating in the international protest against the war this Saturday.
Axis of Justice is actually, we've put it up on the website. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to go myself, but we've helped disseminate some of the information, and there's a possibility I might be able to go, actually.
Is there any time where people in the band have different views on politics?
All the time.
Absolutely.
And but you need to resolve that within the band?
Room for different opinions.
We always have room for different opinions because we're four different human beings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but what we try to do instead of arguing about it is kind of educate each other on our views, you know. And we do a pretty good job of it. We don't really step on each other's toes too much.
Right.
I've learned a lot from these guys.
Likewise.
Yeah. And I think one thing I want to say also is I know you guys are coming across like a little bit like political and so smart, but you guys also have a personality, not only in person when you're not performing, but on some of your songs as well. So if you guys haven't heard any System songs,
no, there's a lot of humor.
Check it out. Yeah,
and I laugh at some of our stuff personally.
Yeah,
and if you know us as individuals, you'll laugh a lot too.
Yes,
which you have. Both
yes,
of
I have.
John gets his. Inspiration from the Taboo series. He and Adam had lengthy.
I knew that was going to come up.
Taboos. Is that song? Wait, what's the song? Is the song around?
Anderson's not in there. There it is.
Can you sing it, John?
I can't sing.
Come on.
My singer's here, though.
Search.
I'll lend him the video.
I don't know.
All I remember is
it's a classic film pornography from the 70s that
yes.
John and Adam have communed about for over the years.
But the best part is when we first met,
yes.
actually before I met them, Adam left the show early, like 20 minutes early.
To go to John's house.
Because I was with some friends playing cards that night, and I had to go home from there to give him the video. That's how much he's a taboo tweak.
He hadn't seen it in 25 years or something, and he had to see it that moment.
So he left here early to go get it. And you left your card? Yeah.
And from what I understand, he didn't show up to work for two, 3 years.
Yeah, he's not been the same since. And it's a movie, it's a classic story of a young man having sex with both his mom and his sister.
That's why it's called Taboo. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Five
of the first, like, 20 are great.
There's that many of them.
Yeah, the first three are classics, in my opinion.
Like I said, John's inspiration in life is...
John inspires you. I wouldn't go that far. Levels.
Inspiration on many ways.
Hold on. We have to... Oh, we just got the last note.
It was a folksy song about a guy you'd want to know.
At least it was production value back then in porn. Yeah. Now it's just like...
Who needs production in porn, my friend?
You got to have a story.
Yeah. Well, there you go. It's kind of like the pizza delivery one. Who is it? Pizza delivery. I look hot? Yes. Jump in my bed.
Taboo for
John has always complained you need romance.
You do.
You have to have, yeah, why not? Romance is important in life.
In porn?
In porn.
In porn, right. Adam.
Yeah.
Adam, you're 18 on Loveline. What's up?
Yeah, hi. First of all, I just want to say, Dr. Drew, you're freaking awesome, man.
Thank you, Adam. What's going on?
All right.
Drew, hold on. You're very, very
serious
tonight. Is
that Adam Carolla? Did you have Adam Carolla calling?
What's wrong? Are you all right?
No, I'm good. I'm good. What is up with me? Let me think.
Yeah, hold on one sec, Adam, on the phone.
No, I'm good.
All right.
You sure?
No, I'm good, yeah.
You're a little testy.
Am I? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be.
You're a little testies.
Am I? I don't mean to be.
You're very relaxed last night. You were petting me. You were being mean. I was being mean back. It was fun. Come on. You all right?
I'm good. I'm good. Don't touch me.
There you go. Adam.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Yeah, I just got this girlfriend like 3 months ago, and I have this uncontrollable erection all the time that like I'm around her, like kissing her or something like that, you know? And like I was wondering if there was like some kind of pill or something that like, I could take, because it's really embarrassing.
Why is it embarrassing?
Well, on one hand, I'm disturbed that we have young callers asking for pills to fix their spiritual, physiological problems.
Your libido. Yeah, don't fight it.
It's
one day you may miss it.
Your body is telling you something. Yeah. keep going, John.
Then you're going to want pills to fix that.
That's right. No, your body's telling you something.
You know?
Why is it embarrassing? Because you're kissing and all of a sudden you're poking out?
Wear some heavy jeans. Don't wear sweatpants.
She should be honored that you're getting a boner, man. Seriously.
How old are you?
He's only 18.
Dude, don't worry about it.
You're not having sex with her, right?
Correct.
That's good times. That's fine.
Yeah.
Good.
How long you been going out with her?
All good.
About 3 months.
Can you have an orgasm while kissing her?
No.
Good. That's good. See, that would be embarrassing.
I have a friend. I'm not going to say his name. But
wear a condom when you...
His first name rhymes with Havid.
David Bevanisti?
No, not him. He can have an orgasm at a strip club from a lap dance.
Oh, yeah.
And he spends $20 on one dance, and he goes home
he's
and
a
he
walks.
Yeah, seriously.
With himself.
It is unbelievable.
It's great.
I don't know if it's. I don't want to be jealous of that.
No, because you certainly don't want to be his girlfriend, right? If he's getting. That's like a 10-second love affair.
But here's the thing. He says he's fine at round two right away.
Round two, what, like 2 a.m?
No, round two, 2 minutes later. What happened to our screen?
2 minutes later, that's...
We're taking a break?
It was screwing up. So
all right, we're going to take a break. This is Loveline. I'm Stryker for Adam, by the way. John and Serge are here from System of a Down. We're going to talk more about the show April 24th, the Souls Benefit Concert. It's sold out, and probably play a little System of a Down music as well. More Loveline after this. All right, we are back on Loveline. I'm Stryker in for Adam, who I think is in New York, along with Dr. Drew. John is here, and Serge from System of a Down, the April 24th show. It's a benefit show. It's sold out like that. How many different charities is the money going to, you guys? Is it just one charity, and how is it divvied up, and why, and what is the money going to end up doing?
Well, first of all, there's the John Lomine Mercedes-Benz Fund.
Yeah, right. You wish. There's about 6 or 7 charities. There's an organization called GenocideProject.org. They interview survivors of the Armenian Genocide, and an organization called Teach Tolerance, Teach Genocide, International Association of Genocide Scholars, and Facing History and Ourselves, which is a really good educational organization that deals with a lot of high schools and colleges and goes out there and teaches how to prevent genocide and the story, the history of genocide and Holocaust.
And then when these charities get the money, I guess my question is, how is that money going to be utilized, and if you even know the answer, I guess? Do you know what I mean?
Well,
like, you're going to hand this money off to the to many of the organizations, and then do you know what exactly they're going to do?
They already, these are all organizations that deal with educating regarding genocide and whatnot.
Got it.
And this organization called the Armenian National Committee of America, they're a Washington, D.C.-based organization, and they lobby for genocide recognition in Congress. We've worked with them, and we're donating part of it to them as well.
Didn't we come, you were mentioning something, we came close to a vote.
What is genocide?
Actually, our
what
last
is that?
President, what happened?
In 2000, there was a vote, a resolution in Congress that was pretty much getting a majority, and the congressmen that were basically sponsoring the bill knew that they were about to get it passed, and it was about to come to a vote on the floor. And President Clinton at the time called Speaker Hastert and asked him to withdraw the bill from a vote, which happened. There was a letter there. There was a press release at the time, and he said that American lives would be endangered in Turkey or something like that. But it was mostly geopolitical reasons having to do with our, you know, ally status with Turkey, which is a terrible excuse for denying genocide.
Hmm. Where in the U.S., just I'm curious, is there a large Armenian population? I know in the...
Eagle Rock.
No, I was going to name the places in Southern California, Glendale.
Yeah, of course.
But are there any other states, cities in California where there's a large population of Armenians?
Yeah,
I'm just curious.
There's a population in Boston, Chicago, and, you know, most major cities.
Right, I'm sure, but is there one
Fresno,
place
I
more...
Fresno, I think, has a bunch of...
Really?
To be honest with you, I think there's more Armenians in the United States than in Armenia at this point.
Because you're here, John.
Exactly.
They followed you. John Domayan. Let's live with him.
I only came here 20 years ago.
What about number two? Czar. Good segue, right? Czar? Czar, you're 21. I'm with System of a Down.
Yes. Hi, how are you guys?
Good. Hi. How are you?
Good. I'm actually calling because I just wanted to get a chance to thank System for what they're doing and getting their message out and getting their word out and helping the, I guess, youth population realize that there's other outlets besides violence of getting their words out and their feelings out and getting the message out to the government and to everyone that about what's going on. And, you know, like my brother, he just formed a band, you guys being kind of like role models to get his feelings and outlets out through that. And I just wanted to thank you guys, and that it's greatly appreciated what you guys do.
Thank you, Czar. That's really cool for you to call and say that. Thank you.
Those are very kind words.
What do you guys do outside of music, Serge, if you want to reveal? Because, I mean, I see John into many fun things. No, nothing bad, but I'm
just... watches Taboo and he eats.
John likes porn, eats, and playing cards. And hanging out and listening to music, I assume. And he wants a Mercedes.
No, I don't really want a Mercedes. I'm just kidding.
And you're into football, aren't you?
I like the Bills, Buffalo Bills.
Right.
How many siblings do you have? Do you have siblings?
I have one.
Yeah.
My sister, who is mad at me right now.
That's right. Why? It's because you were yelling at her before we went on the air.
No, that's the way we communicate.
Why were you yelling at your sister?
Hey, let's talk about this.
Yeah, come on.
All right, okay.
Or how about the guy that can't close the deal?
The guy that can't...
No.
Shh. You know who you are.
Cállate la boca, señor striker. All right, let's move on. Drew wanted to go to line number one this time. All right, 19, Renee, what's up?
Hi. Okay, so I was told a couple months ago, right after that, I have herpes.
Hello. You were told what?
I have herpes.
You were told at a pelvic exam or something? What? How did
yes,
that...
I went to a gynecologist and they told me this.
Oh, I thought you said that Dr. Drew told me I had herpes a couple weeks ago.
And you were having an outbreak at the time?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. And so what's the question?
Is that why you went to the doctor, I assume?
Yes, that is.
Okay, got it.
And I'm kind of curious on how you tell a guy this. What's like the correct way to say it?
Put on a condom.
Well, okay, I know that part. Is that all you have to say?
Is it just me, or are there a whole lot of herpes ads on TV nowadays?
So many. Yeah. It's always a girl
running on the beach. I mean, it's always somebody playing volleyball
too.
Or something. You know?
Kickboxing.
I'm like,
kickboxing.
Yeah,
biking.
It's always like some crazy, sweaty activity.
Doesn't make
activity,
you
want
to have herpes?
Doesn't make me want to see it, actually. Just a nerd. You know, they got the song. They got the whole deal.
It's the best produced commercial on TV.
It's
they
the
got
best.
The music. They
it
got
was
the
on during
lyrics.
The Super Bowl, wasn't it?
Hot girls that have herpes running on the beach in a bikini.
But they're not I even that herpes. Hot, though. They're kind of like average. They just want to show that anyone can get herpes. You know, the girl next door.
Right.
Anyway, back to you.
Drew, is it easy to avoid getting herpes because it's visible and that's when you mostly can catch it from somebody?
It's hard to see when
it's
the lights
impossible.
Are off,
no, that
Stryker.
Is, that is,
I'd make love with the lights on, don't mind.
You can, yeah, but that's because there's cameras.
you can transmit it even when there is no outbreak.
Really?
And you cannot see an outbreak on a woman.
Oh, okay. Because
it's inside.
Ah. Well, I'm, dude. I don't have it. What do you mean, dude? Sorry. I wear protection.
Okay.
So wearing a hat is not protection, by the way, Stryker.
Right. No. The wearing kind of might not. Well, it certainly wouldn't protect you if you're having an, if somebody's having an outbreak. But
Stryker uses saran wrap.
So what should Renee do? How should she tell a guy?
Serge? How should she let the guy know she's got herpes?
Just be honest with him. And
yeah. At what point does she do it?
Right when you start seeing each other and you feel that if you're going to get sexual and you're ready for that, because he's going to be ready right away. When you're ready you let him know.
So let's think about you're dating Renee now, John.
Don't wait until I have it out of my pants and I'm ready to go.
it could go one of two ways, right? She could bring it up early and you could be like,
I'm out.
You could be in a touchdown. Yeah. Like, well, I know what that means. You could be into it, right?
Well, no, I don't think you're ever into, hey, have herpes. All right, then I'm guaranteed sex.
No, or well, that's what I'm asking you. Or are you going to say, oh, no, I'm not going to.
I think that if you really care about the person, you'll take it into consideration. And you'll get educated on it, and then you'll kind of weigh the risks compared to how much you care about that person, and then you'll make a decision based on that. Otherwise, but if you don't tell him, that's completely unfair.
Yeah.
Very unfair and mean and absolutely. Bad.
And he might give it to someone else without knowing it. You never know.
Oh, and then he's going to be.
Isn't that how this stuff spreads?
Volleyball.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
You know, and then you're going to have a volleyball commercial to deal with, and all kinds of bad things.
All right, Renee.
Okay.
Thank you.
It didn't help her a bit. So, Rick, she's disappointed.
Because she doesn't want to tell him.
Rick is 20.
What's up, Rick?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey.
Hey, all right, yeah, so I had a question.
Wait, hold on one second. Was that big band music I heard in the background?
It was either big band music or a train horn.
Wow, you guys are getting good.
Yeah. What was that in the background?
I got up from a chair.
Oh, it's a squeaky chair.
Sample that, you guys.
Studio seat.
Even though you say, yeah, exactly. What's going on, Rick?
Yeah, anyway, all right. So I have, first of all, I guess I should ask first, do third nipples grow, like, are you born with them?
Yes.
You have to be born with them.
Well, why, are you hoping to grow one?
No. All right, so then I have this thing on the left side of my chest, right? And it's just developing, and it feels different when I press it other than when I press, you know, another part of my skin or something. So I'm kind of wondering if what the possibilities are that could be.
Where, well...
Is there a nipple attached to this thing?
No. Okay.
It's so bizarre how people go to these bizarre notions that you have a growth. Where is the growth?
It's to the left.
It's on my ass. That's a nipple.
It's like, all right, it's like 3 inches under my left nipple. That's where it is.
Directly underneath.
No, it's to the right a little bit. Yeah.
It's right, yeah. I have nipples, John. Can you milk me?
Actually, I think I have.
No, you need to see a dermatologist. It could be a tumor. It could be a wart.
It's not a tumor.
No. That's the thing. I don't have like any insurance at all. I can't see anybody. I just wanted. So I'm just anything you can give me, I'd appreciate it. Just no. if it could be
cancer.
How could it be a tumor if it's just on the?
I didn't say it was a tumor.
Sorry, when he's universal healthcare in this country.
That's sad that this guy has nowhere to. I mean, there must be somewhere you can go.
Yes,
right?
You can go to San Francisco General. Just
the
go
what?
Walk in. Go to the county hospital. You can walk in and get healthcare.
Right.
That's it. Just go. It could be cancer for all I know. I mean, you're just describing a growth on your skin. It could be anything.
Have you seen a third nipple before? And I'm being serious, Drew. Have you seen one on a human?
Many times.
Really?
Is that like the third eye?
They're very kind. They can sometimes look like a mole, and sometimes they can look like a nipple.
Is it sensitive like a nipple?
No.
No. Okay.
Have you ever seen a third vagina?
I've seen many more than three. John.
I've seen one with two vaginas.
Really?
They can have septated vaginas. Pretty cool.
What?
Not that.
Wait, explain.
What kind of porn have you been watching?
That a woman can have a basically two chambers in there.
And firewall.
I had one once that even had two uteruses and two systems.
Wow. Two systems?
Systems.
Does that mean if they have twins, they can come out of at the same time?
No.
Wow. Don't mind. Kills me. Where are we going, Drew?
Megan.
Megan, what's up? You're 18.
What's going on?
Nothing.
I was just wondering why I like to sleep with older men.
Sleep with them? Where's your dad?
My dad is in Manteca.
What's he doing out there?
He's living there.
So he doesn't live with you?
No, I have a stepdad.
How old were you when your biological dad left?
I was 4.
Why'd he leave?
He was an alcoholic.
All right, well,
I nailed that one, Drew. You see, to call that one out.
Yeah, Starker got that one. So there you go. That's coming from.
Oh.
That gets wired into the implicit mechanisms of your brain. And then at puberty, those things that were traumatized and get turned into attraction. And there you go. You got to make that right. You got to find a guy like that and make him love you the way the one that you needed when you needed him didn't.
Yeah.
You get along with your stepdad?
No, not really.
Yeah.
That'll help too.
How old are the guys that you're sleeping with? You're 18. How old are they?
Well, my last boyfriend was 28.
That's not that bad.
It's not terrible.
Well, 18, I mean, 28. We got together when I was 16.
Yep.
Yeah, that's bad.
There you go.
Bingo.
Is there something wrong with him?
Yes. Wait till you're 26. You'll vomit when you realize who you were dating. A 26-year-old that would date a 16-year-old will freak you out when you're 26.
Well, it freaks me out now.
Oh, good. That's good. That's a good sign. So date somebody your own age. There you go.
Why are you just brushing her off like that?
What are we going to do?
I guess just tell her to go.
We're about to give her Schweiger's phone number.
I'm about to get into some platitudes about therapy. Because my point is either she can stop this and have healthier relationships or she can need to do something about this.
All right. Casino, you're 21 on Loveline. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Drew? You're the greatest system. I love you guys. You're my favorite band ever.
Ever. Thank you. Wow, nice.
Ever, Church. Definitely. What do you guys think about like the FCC cracking down on just radio, period, you know what I'm saying, on all airwaves?
I think it's ridiculous. Thank Don't you, even get John. Me started on that subject.
No, John, take it away.
I think it's a bunch of BS. I don't know. What do you guys really think about it, though? I mean,
I think we're going backwards. You know, we really made a lot of advancements as a culture, and we've also gone backwards in a lot of ways. And it feels to me like we're going back to the 50s, right after World War II, when people were dubbed communists and, you know, artists, actors were blacklisted. And I see us going towards this kind of attitude with this regime that we have in power right now. And I think it's sad, and I'm very afraid. I'm very afraid as an American of what I'm going to be allowed to say in a couple of years.
That's cool.
And I think everyone should be afraid of that.
Dr. Drew and myself, you know, I'm not the normal host in here, but last night I asked you probably 2 or 3 times. I actually caught myself thinking, can I say that, Drew? And you're like, no, you can't say that anymore.
Yeah.
Freaks me out and pisses me off more than anything, but I have to think that much about if I can get away with something.
Let's sort of try to stay positive about this. We should be thinking about what we say. It's okay that public airways have rules. I wish they would tell us those rules. Right now, we don't even know what the rules
are. They're gray
areas.
No
list on the wall. Please give us a set of rules. We are law-abiding citizens. We will be happy to follow the rules if you would be kind enough to give them to us. In the meantime,
I thought the people own the airwaves, though. I don't think they should regulate anything.
Well, okay, no, that's a separate issue. It's a separate issue.
I'll tell you what, on your comment.
People don't own the airwaves. That's the truth.
Yeah. On your comment, who's going to be the one that dictates what is okay to say?
You have
a minority dictating it, not the majority.
But my point is that that's true of a lot of regulations and laws and things, and I'm delighted to be a law-abiding citizen, but you got to give me the rules. In the meantime, I'm trying to help some kids, and we have to go into territory that might be a little uncomfortable. We got to go there and give us those rules, and we'll be happy to abide by them. What bothers me is that 2 people took the law in their own hands, and those of us that are law-abiding are eating doo-doo because of it. You know what I'm
saying? That's just a scapegoat. What happened at the Super Bowl?
I understand.
But it really got the ball rolling.
But it really is what happened. Yeah. We were fine. And we were all abiding by the rules of the land because we knew we had public airways. That was a public airway. That was not cable. That was public broadcasting. And that has rules. And 2 people decided they weren't going to follow those rules. And we are all, the rest of us are eating.
And before that happened, I was never more relaxed on the radio. Before all this has happened, I was free flowing doing
this.
It does.
But that's okay. It really does change what we're saying. That's fine. We need to understand what we're supposed to think, and that's fine. Anyway, we got to take a break.
We do?
On that heavy
note. Are you calling the shots?
This is a heavy show tonight.
You are.
It's a heavy show. Heavy. Serge, I blame you.
It's my fault.
No. All right. So
Serge didn't say nothing.
Genocide and FCCs and oh my goodness.
All right.
There's more to come.
Any lesbians with large breasts, John and I would like to speak to you immediately. Not because we want to make out, but John likes... Because
Stryker likes this stuff.
Fine, I do.
Stop picking on John. I'm going to start
I'm not picking on John.
Yeah, this is political John tonight.
All right. This is PJ tonight.
PJ.
PJD. Political John.
That reminds me of Robin Hood, Disney movie. PJ.
I don't watch that.
Prince John.
All right, we're taking a break. More with System, me, Stryker, and Dr. Drew next on Loveline. Hold on. All right, we are back. It is Loveline. I'm excited to be sitting in for Adam. I'm Stryker, by the way, here in L.A. with Dr. Drew and John and Serge from System of a Downer here. Toxicity sold over 4 million worldwide or in the States? That seems like 4 million.
Sold about 3 million in the States.
It did?
Yeah.
Huge. And then Steal This Album came out after that, which I love Steal This Album, and the way you guys promoted it, which was none.
Right. Yeah. You know, most people, I mean, I don't know how many people bought Steal This Album, but... I love that album.
It is so good. There's so many good songs
on
it.
People probably think it's just like when they see it in the stands because the cover, you know, it's kind of a play on what was happening back then with people downloading and whatnot, mm-hmm. and just kind of stealing music, that we don't really have like a cover, so to speak, for it. It just looks like a burned CD.
The actual CD and the cover of the CD looks like I did that in my basement or something.
And I think actually Sony hired you to put those out, right?
Did they?
You made them yourself.
Unfortunately not, because I didn't see a dime.
But join the club.
There are some great freaking songs on that thing, like I-A-I-O, and then Inner Vision came up there. Really?
And it's on that album.
Damn.
If you don't have that album, I don't care if you buy it, borrow it from a friend, listen to it, because we're really proud of it.
It could have been the next System record.
It was.
If you just guys didn't want to do anything, but I know you want to do something, you can't have something... that you did 3 years ago coming out in 2004.
We just had a lot of stuff recorded, and we wanted to put it out and not wait 5 years to put it out or anything like that. And we just got off a touring cycle, so we didn't want to go on another touring cycle for a year just to do that. So we just thought it would be cool to release it as an extra record.
Do you guys miss touring at all? Are you completely content hanging in L.A. and working right now on the new record? Are there any things you miss about the road, John?
I probably miss the road more than Serge does.
Yeah, I like touring for the first 2 weeks.
You like touring for 2 weeks?
Yeah, well, after
and the next
that, it's
87
just...
weeks. You're in trouble.
No, I mean, if you space it out, it's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, because you're playing shows. You know, you're playing a similar show in a different city, and you want it to be fresh. And for the audience's sake, you don't want to be able to, you know, be worn out after a month and whatnot. I mean, we still do it, and you know, we try to be pro about it. But you know, for their sake, I really always think that we should always. Go back to ourselves and come back mm-hmm. enriched in some way.
I mean, Serge, you can harmonize fantastic. You can scream. How's your voice? Do you have to see a doctor after touring, during?
I'm never worried about my voice.
Cool.
Only my heart.
Nice. And your brain, hopefully.
Sometimes, right? Jeanette, 26.
All right.
Yes.
Jeanette?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
What's up there? Yep, we're here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, this is
great. Put her on a seat, Drew. Why did you choose that one? We were talking with System of a Down.
We have 1 minute to go before we have another break.
Here.
Go ahead, Jeanette. What's up?
Okay. What I would like to know is I've kind of chased away two different guys that were sort of in the boyfriend potential category in the last month. The first guy, we kind of hung out. I didn't sleep with him right away. Waited like 8 dates, and then finally we slept together. Yeah, it's all right.
And it was all right.
Eight dates? That's a long time to make him wait.
What is your question? We have very limited time here, Jeanette.
The second guy I slept with right away, and both of them still have never called me back. But I'm wondering if it's because I told them that I have breast cancer, which I had to tell them because the nipple's inverted and I have lumps, visible lumps on the breast.
From lumpectomies or why?
Well, no, actually, the surgeon said that they can't do surgery because it's too expensive. They want to start chemo. But I only have, they've given me within a few months, like 14 months to live. So I'm wondering if maybe that just scared the guys away.
You seem to
Why are you making him wait 8 dates then? Get it done.
Well, it was his choice. I would have jumped on him before then, but he was reticent.
You seem to have an awfully good attitude about all this.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
Why?
I'm a rape survivor, 4 different rapes. I've been kidnapped. I survived that. I've survived being shot. And so, and I've been clean for one, well, off the methadone program, clean for 1 year.
Are you on methadone or off methadone?
Off methadone. I was on methadone for 2 years, and I completed the program in March of last year.
Hold on, we got to talk some more to you, Jeanette's.
Are you sure her name's not Lucky?
Unlucky. Except for the breast cancer, I'd say so. Yeah.
I'm kidding, John. Man.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll get back to Jeanette. She's an amazing story.
Wow.
Woo.
Is that real?
This could be a whole show.
She's got more injuries than 50 Cent. She's been shot. She's going to die in 13 months from cancer. She's been raped four times.
Wow.
And what is she, off the wagon now or something?
She's off methadone.
Okay, well, we'll find out what is going on with Jeanette and System of a Down and Dr. Drew and me, Stryker, after this on Loveline. Hello there, you guys. What's up? This is Loveline. I'm Stryker, along with Dr. Drew, who is staring at the computer like a deer in the headlights across the room. And now we have 25% more of System of a Down. The bassist, the man with the long goatee.
Yeah, 50% more.
No, we added 25%.
Now that he's here, he's 25% of three. But
hold on, let me get my abacus. We'll
all right. See, the doctor has to step in. For the love of God, Shavo, yes. System, hello.
What's up, brother?
How long were you outside trying to break in the compound?
Well, I couldn't find the place. They told me, someone told me it was like Robertson and something else, and I was driving to the old place, and then I realized I called the line.
Yeah, the back line.
Yeah, the back line. And he's like, no, man, you're going the wrong way. Hit Fairfax, and I did, and I'm here.
And here you are.
And then I walked in with the pooch.
Yeah, I saw the wiener dog.
Oh, he's so cute.
You didn't stop at Canner's on the way, did you, and get
no,
a sandwich?
No, I'm actually full.
All right.
You guys are, it's good to
don't
see
talk
you
about
guys,
food.
Though. I miss you guys.
I'm starving.
Seen you forever.
You, did you hear
especially you.
I know.
You
Audio.
Audio. We're supposed to have dinner at my parents' house. What's
I
up?
Know. I don't know. Well, your mom never called me.
Okay, we got to go Audio to Alio. My mom right now. My mom is listening.
She is?
Mom, we're going to come to dinner next weekend with Stryker. Okay,
next
I love
Sunday.
You.
We're going to eat some food. It's going to be good. Were you listening to your bandmates talk
yes,
about...
Yes, I was. Of course I was. They did a great job, and I was, like, impressed by everything they said. I was tripping.
Is there anything that you want to add that you know, you heard them talk, you're like, oh, I want to add this in when I get there about
well,
anything?
This whole thing to me is not a political thing. I know it's political to, you know, a few of us.
And, which whole thing?
Yeah, the genocide. To me, it's really personal. Like, I heard John talk about his gramps, and I don't even know how old my grandpa is, because everyone...
137.
Maybe, but he looks like he's 60, but he's like 70, 80-something. We don't know his birth date or his age because everyone was killed.
That knew
brothers,
with all the records. You know, and stuff.
Yeah, everyone. So he was raised in an American orphanage in Greece.
Hmm.
And I would, like John said, I wouldn't be here if he wasn't taken in by Greece, you know, which is amazing, Americans in Greece. So,
I would like to say one thing, though.
Hi, Gramps.
A lot of Armenians would have perished if it wasn't for very brave Turkish people in Turkey at that time that took Armenians in, and they could have lost their lives for harboring
like
Armenians.
I mean, Iraq took us in. I'm talking about we're Christian, and Muslim countries like Iraq took us in because they said, what the hell is going on here?
Was this, this a religious thing?
No, but you know what? Turks are
many
Muslim, and we're Christian, and we're the first nation to accept Christianity as a national religion. And, you know, that you know probably took some... I mean, not major, you know, because I know a lot of it is economic and political, but I mean, it was just weird to have a country like Iraq and Iran and all these countries that people always look at in America as the negative vibe of the world and all this stuff, and they took us in, and they were like, you know what, we don't care what they do and what they believe in, they're good people, and it shouldn't be happening to them, you know?
A lot of countries actually took us in at that time.
That's why we're so
all
spread
over that
out.
Area.
That's why we're so spread out. You know, that's why there's Armenians from Iraq. There's Armenians from Lebanon. There's Armenians from, you know, Turkey. There's Armenians from Greece. My headphone just went out.
You're on, though.
I'm cool. Anyway, yeah. So that's why we're all spread all over the world. America, you know.
Right.
Australia.
If you're just tuning into Loveline, John, Shavo, and Serge are here from System of a Down, and we've been talking about the show that they're doing. It's a benefit show, the Souls Benefit Concert, April 24th. Go ahead, John.
I do want to mention that our guitarist was going to be here, but he couldn't make it.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, he didn't really want to come.
I was to see you guys all
he
in
He was actually going to come.
Yeah, he was really going to come. He was really, I mean,
oh, my God.
We've been, as a band, honestly, tighter and closer than we've been for years, and I love the vibe. I love it. You know, we're like stronger than ever, I feel, and we're like a juggernaut right now as a unit. Yeah,
that's cool.
Very good. It's 1-800-LOVE-191 if you want to talk to System, ask some questions about Armenian genocide, anything else
about
out there, their takes.
We want to get back to Jeanette.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We were talking to Jeanette. She's 26. Listen to this. This girl's 26. She's
Jeanette
been shot
1 year off methadone.
4 times, raped 100 times, and she's going to die in a year of breast cancer.
Right. That about you, Jeanette?
No.
That's about it.
I don't believe you.
Well, let me say this, okay? When I was shot, it sounds a lot worse than... Well, it was bad, but it was... I was 15, and I was shot with buckshot, and the only reason it was serious is because two of the buckshots hit an artery on my inner thigh. I was climbing up a ladder to a hayloft, and my cousins... Well, anyway, you don't need to hear the whole story. But
where did you grow up?
Pardon me?
Where did you grow up? Where were you?
I grew up in Seattle, but my cousins live in Colorado, so we visited.
Where did this happen? Where did this happen?
This happened in Colorado.
And so you got strung out on heroin somewhere along the way, right?
Yes. Well, I have, not that this is an excuse by any means, I have bipolar syndrome and post-traumatic stress disorder. Go figure that, you know?
Well, yeah, what happened?
I love that you're laughing about it.
How do you get this
it?
Attitude? Did you have some treatment, or are you just in recovery?
I'm right now. 2 years of therapy, but I mean, what else am I gonna do? Am I gonna go burrow in a hole and just spend my life?
Most addicts would use this as a great excuse to go use.
Oh, you know, do I want to spend the last who knows how long of my life strung out? Definitely not. Definitely not.
And why aren't they giving you any chance at more of a response with your breast cancer?
When I saw my regular doctor, the breast specialist. Mm-hmm. What he had said was that it's 75% of my left breast, and it's spread into the lymph nodes.
I understand it's widespread, but why won't they give you any chance of any sort of aggressive interventions? Yeah.
Of responding? I'm not really sure. I have a meeting with the oncologist tomorrow at 3, okay. And I saw my regular doctor on Wednesday to stop smoking because she said that would help my immune system, definitely. Yeah. But what she had told me is that he's already scheduled me for chemotherapy because they want to start attacking it aggressively, but so I'm not really...
Why go through chemo, Dr. Drew, if they're saying you only have a year or so to
maybe
live?
Maybe less, maybe 6 months without the chemo.
Well, why go through that pain and...
Your breast cancer chemo, well, it depends on which one they're going to give her.
Hey, I'm sorry for saying I don't believe you, because I...
Now he does.
Yeah, but I thought you were messing with me.
The original question was, though, what happened to these guys? Did they get scared off because of the breast cancer? Is there anything else about the way you relate to guys that might scare them off? Are you kind of aggressive sexually or anything, or...
It took her 8 dates to sleep with one guy.
You know what I mean? Is there anything about you, because you've been a trauma survivor... Oh, she's gone.
We hung up on her.
Oh, no.
Her last home. That's terrible.
I don't think she should worry about scaring off guys and maybe concentrate on her illness.
Just
and
be happy as much as you can.
I concentrate on doing as much as I could in life before, you know, the time came. I would do as much as
I
can.
Get healthy. Concentrate on getting healthy.
Congratulations on your recovery. Rebecca, 21.
Hard school.
Hey,
what's up, Rebecca?
Hey, can I ask about a question? Well, the most part of that.
Here they are.
I was wondering if you guys have ever planned to come to El Paso.
I mean,
you ride bulls there, don't you, Shava?
El Paso, have we?
Every time I'm in El Paso, yeehaw! No, it's if our agent sends us there. I mean, no, we don't usually book our own.
We definitely
tour
Texas, but El Paso's in Texas, right?
Yeah. Yes.
No, it's in Chicago. I mean, it's in Illinois, bro. It's near Chicago.
No, I don't think we've ever played there, but maybe just for you, we'll come down.
Oh, thanks.
He's lying.
Yep. Hey, Chava, what's your language?
That's it. K-Rock's now off the air.
We're done. We're all
because
fired.
Of the new rules of the FCC, K-Rock is no longer. Love Line's off the air. That's it.
Well, you guys should see Surge is going. Of course we
Are
can't
you
see that.
But they, no, about, but yeah. Okay, they say that on like Comedy
can
Central
you say
and stuff.
Dog? No.
No.
Oh.
Oh, you can.
Can't. You got to block
I
that
apologize.
Out.
I apologize.
You got to say poop.
You know,
yes.
We were talking about this
Bleep.
Off the air, and... Everyone Sorry. Should really be concerned because, like I said, the regime that's in place right now, there should be a separation of church and state. And, Drew, what you just read me made me sick.
What did it say, Drew? I was outside running for a System record. If you want to get in, do you want to get into it?
I didn't read it carefully enough, but I was just reading something about the definition of profanity. So.
According
South
to
Park,
who?
You know, South Park. uses that word like
that's cable.
That was one episode.
That's cable. It's not.
They can do whatever they want.
You can do whatever you want
if it's NYPD blue. But if you're having a normal conversation and you're an adult, watch what you say.
No, it's public airways versus cable. Private.
That's the beginning.
FCC.
So Rebecca, that's it.
Oh no, I had another question.
What was the question? I forgot. Oh, El Paso.
Yeah, that makes me mad. Can I say that?
Go ahead.
We'll be near El Paso. How's that?
Rebecca,
we're planning a good long tour.
We usually play Austin, San Antonio,
Dallas.
Houston, and Dallas. Just to be honest with you,
when we
play
in Texas.
You guys
have been to Albuquerque, too.
Yeah, we have.
Have we?
Yeah, we have.
That's not in Texas, though, is it?
No, it's in New Mexico, but it's the closest thing to here.
So you're
Wow, we played New Mexico? I don't remember that.
Yeah, we did. Albuquerque. You don't remember? It was a 5 o'clock show headlining.
5 o'clock.
This is Armina.
It's your Black Label days.
On
the Rezox Black
Armina.
Label.
I don't remember that tour.
And then he passed it on to my aunt.
21. Armina.
You can't say that either.
Yes, you can.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. It's coming
out
two people.
As
Armina, it's from Glendale.
Alio.
Hello?
Vontes.
Love,
you get
Kitsabe.
What did you say? Kimosa.
Kitsabe?
What would you say?
Audio? Kitsabe?
Kitsabe, what is that? No.
Do you have pain?
Oh, tabune.
Gitsabe.
Oh, Gitsabe. Oh, that's nice.
Nice.
Drew, he's tabule. A doctor. Tabule. Gitsabe. That's rad.
What's going on, Armina?
Not too much. I just
Armina.
Want to call and give you guys a heads up for all the effort you guys have been putting for the Armenian genocide, educating everybody about it. I'm really excited that, you know, someone's actually voicing something about what happened.
Well, someone needs to.
Hello?
Yeah, someone needs to. So if we're the people that
No, because I was born and raised here. I'm from Glendale, and I was born and raised. And,
of course you are.
I personally grew up not knowing much about it, and it's really nice to know that there's actually people that, you know, that are doing something about it. And
well, just keep in mind that the point isn't that, there was a genocide that took place in Armenians. The point is that these things are still happening, and how do we prevent them from happening? We educate ourselves and each other about things that happened in the past. The Holocaust that took place, you know, during World War II probably would never have happened if the Armenian genocide was recognized. And that's something that's very important.
Did you guys talk about the quote, the Hitler quote?
Why don't you go ahead and do that?
What's the museum, Serge? Do you know which museum that was?
Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. has a quote on the third floor from Hitler that basically says, who remembers the Armenians? Now, as he was, you know, starting to give orders for persecution of the Jews in the 30s, his mindset is very obvious as to what he thought he could get away with, and that's really important to note.
Yeah, he was stationed in Turkey during World War I, so he saw it first.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, he saw these things happen, and he was... I've heard he saw this happen, because...
They were allies in World War I, so they were very aware
of what
was going
on. Don't the Caucasus Mountains go through Armenia? Isn't that one of the...
Liz is 19.
Can you say that on the radio?
Yeah, the Caucasus Mountains go through Armenia, and, like, you know, when Hitler went, you know, he was offended by the whole thing. It was why they're doing this to these these people.
This is such a roller coaster love line tonight, Dr. Drew. Seriously. We've got crazy serious education combined with the other
but,
stuff.
But okay, the like fact it. That I can say caucus right. on the air is amazing for me. Go
careful.
On.
Liz 19, hello. What's up? You're on careful. Love Line with System of a Down Shavo.
Oh hi. This is for Dr. Drew. I'm having
forget it.
I think possibly the best sex I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Drew, for that.
Good job, Dr. Drew.
Good job. Good
Drew
job.
Is a king. Drew,
definitely Drew. Not doing the thing at the lamp dance, right, Drew?
All right,
go on. Okay. I'm sorry. You had the best sex of your life, and then what?
Well, the problem is that like I can orgasm, but I can't completely fully climax. I can't reach that output.
Then you're not having the best sex of your life.
No, I mean I am. Like literally out of everyone else in the past. I mean,
you guys tour San Antonio, right?
Yes, we did.
That's where she is.
What?
You're in San Antonio.
I can't go from genocide to sex. I'm sorry.
By the way, this highlights the differences between men and women. Men cannot cannot get their head around, cannot imagine the idea of great sex without an orgasm.
Yeah.
For women,
yes, you're right.
For women,
you're right on that
one. The way their brain works, they can have an experience called receptivity, where they can have an experience that is highly sexual, highly arousing, without a climax.
But see, also women come, you know, can climax a couple, you know, a few times, and men can't.
Most women cannot do that, but some can. Some can.
Some guys can have one after another.
No, I can't do that. But no. I mean, I've been with, you know, people that have.
Yes, yeah, some women can.
Amazing experience.
What was his name?
I guess them. John. he plays for this band that's on the air right now.
I did climax a couple of times. Thanks, Chef.
Yeah, no problem, bro.
So your question is, you want to know how you can fully climax, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, well, I've been able to have an orgasm with the complete climax thing, and it was great. Yeah. But I'm having sex, and it's like right there. It's right there, but it won't finish.
Stop thinking about
it. It's mental. It's fully mental for you, I'll be honest.
Well, what do I think about?
Well, you don't think about nothing and just enjoy
Carl Malone.
The moment.
Gary Payton.
Enjoy the moment. Don't think about having to have an orgasm. Don't think about anything, because, I mean, even as a guy, you know, if I am stressing over orgasm, you know, having an orgasm, I probably won't be able to. So just don't think about it. Enjoy yourself, man. You know, don't stress on it and it'll happen. They're laughing right here. They're tripping that I'm talking about
this. What was that movie, Singles, where he's like, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Xavier McTaggart.
Yeah, oh, yeah, and don't...
Right? Drew, do you know what we're talking to? Please don't be annoyed.
Where's Adam Carolla? Where'd he go?
He's in New York. What are you saying?
What's he doing over there?
What are you saying?
Nothing, because... Yeah.
What are you trying to say?
He'd be like this. What? Where's the... Okay.
Wait. Let's see.
What is he'd it? Have the mic right here. And he's got his eyes closed all the time. Yeah, Drew, you know? Yeah, I know everything, and you don't. You know? And I know you're a doctor, but I can tell jokes. So. Yeah. My name is Adam Carolla, and my eyes are closed right now, but you can't see me. That would be Adam if you ever were in the studio. And then you go, you know what? I love Taboo. And that's all I can talk about when John shows up. And even Shava from System is sick of hearing about it. Because I'm Adam Carolla, and I love being that guy. And, you know, my wife, you know, yeah. And the TV shut down, and I got scared. Remember that one?
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Watch.
That's fun. I like
Who's
that
seen
show?
That show? Okay.
Yeah, that's
the
funny.
The Chappelle Show is one of my favorite shows out right now, and I'll give him props if he's listening.
My friend named his dog Rick James because of that bit.
That show is so funny. I mean, I was a fan before that
amazing.
Rick James bit, but when the Rick James thing happened, then he the Prince the week after, where Prince is ripping on basketball.
Shirts and blouses.
Oh, man. That guy has ball. I can say ball.
Yes, you can.
All right.
Or Coley. Just say wave us. Wave us. Wave. All right, let's go to Morgan.
Coley.
Oh, do we have to go to that one?
Yeah.
About the liver?
91 minutes.
Hell.
Liver boy.
All right. Go ahead, 91 minutes.
Hi, Dr. Penske, Stryker, System of Down, thanks. Dr. Drew, you correctly identified me with a dual rare liver disease, polycystic liver disease, and Crohn's disease.
Yeah, yeah.
And a month ago, I called you to let you know I was hung up on this one beautiful girl. I was fortunate enough to share intimacy with her a few times, and I felt bonded. Of course, she said, no, you're not the one. And on your and Adam's advice, I moved on. Well, the other day, I was with this amazing young girl that I've started seeing, and I had trouble performing. And I don't know why. Is it because I've been out of the game so long, or does the liver actually affect sex?
Well, certainly your overall health condition can affect your... Yeah, I mean, one of the things that has become very clear in recent years is that male sexual performance is very much involved with the biological state. That to put too much emphasis, particularly young male, on psychological is not right. That if you're not working, more often than not, it has a biological basis to it. And again, particularly older guys, too. So, yeah, you've got a chronic illness, certainly can affect your performance. Absolutely.
Morgan, 16. What's up? Number two.
I've been dating a guy on and off since last spring, and we've had sex 4 times, and...
Since last spring, only 4 times?
Wow.
Yeah, well, we just started
quarterly.
A few months ago. Yeah.
Quarterly sex.
But anyway...
Faces taxes and any bangs. Good Lord.
Every season you can do it. Yeah, enjoy one.
She's 16.
Well,
she shouldn't be having sex.
Orgasmed one of the times, and so I'm wondering, like... Should we be having sex? Should we break
How old is
up
he?
Because
no.
of that?
How old is no? Shouldn't break up. Shouldn't be having sex.
How old is he?
He's 16.
You guys are pretty young, and if he's not able to get to that situation, you know.
Well, see, he can have an orgasm with like oral sex and with like hand jobs.
Are you guys using protection? Is he wearing a condom?
Yeah.
Well, that Could be.
But you know what? Never, I mean, you should always use a condom.
But don't you guys hear like a 10-year-old here?
I was going to say, what happened to you when you were 5?
No, nothing. I don't know. I think it's something when I get on the phone that my voice goes up and I get
nervous. You sound really young.
You sound 10.
Yeah.
12.
So what happened? You're about 10.
I've had no abuse, but...
Not necessarily abuse. Did your family break up or something?
No.
Anybody die or did anything happen around that time?
Hello.
No trauma, no.
I mean, you sound very young, and you sound very sort of lost, too. I mean, you're engaged in an intimate physical relationship and asking questions that are just sort of,
Like you said, like the guys won't have good sex if they're not orgasming, so I guess I'm just worried.
So your mind's
about
playing tricks on
Morgan,
you.
No, Morgan, you're saying, because this happened, should we break up? Doesn't even, that those two things
yeah,
don't
equate.
They don't
what does
connect.
That, what does one have to do with the other?
Right, they don't connect at all. And you're sort of just spinning with this, you know, spinning out of control. And it's you sound so naive and so immature, it makes you wonder if you have been sort of exploited or taken advantage of, and is there something in that in this relationship too?
No, I don't think so. He's a good guy.
That's not the question.
It's not
he's
about
saying,
him.
Yeah. You were thinking of breaking up with him and ending it because he's not having orgasms quarterly.
Yeah, well, I don't want him to be, like, just staying in there for me when he's not, like, enjoying himself.
Let me tell you something there, sweetie. And I don't call people sweetie that often. Any sex for a guy, he's enjoying it.
It's at all, 16?
Yes.
All pizza.
Yes.
All pizza is good.
Right.
All
pizza is good.
Anchovies.
Is it break time?
You gotta flick the anchovies off sometimes, though. But it's still good.
All right, we're gonna take a break. Is that am I on?
Well, how many breaks are we gonna take here?
A lot of breaks. We got Xavier McDaniel here. We got Karl Malone and Gary Payton. System of a Down is here. John Chavo, Serge, more with the guys. I'm Stryker and Dr. Drew in Loveline. After this. It's Loveline. We got about a half hour left with System of a Down. John Chavo and Serge are here. Hey, when you guys are done with the record and it comes out and you tour again, do you think maybe just for a warm-up, you may do a few smaller venues, just maybe for the fans, for the website, for them?
The Stryker can announce on his show?
No.
Yeah, 10,000 people there?
No, I'm serious. Okay. Something like Roxy, Whiskey,
well,
and a couple places like that?
I don't know if everyone's down, but I thought of maybe before the album comes out, we do a little tour around. Remember what I told you? We do like small clubs.
Hmm.
Like just like the major cities, we do little clubs without announcing, and maybe tickets go on sale the day of at the venue. Something like that. But
yeah.
I'm not 100%, so don't quote me on that, but that's an idea, which would be really cool because I think every one of us enjoys playing smaller places compared to
Definitely.
Bigger places because the vibe in there, the energy.
Intimacy,
so,
probably.
Yeah, it's so amazing. Yeah. I mean, I miss playing the Whiskey, the Roxy. And
man,
stuff like
I remember seeing you guys in a three-night span years ago.
Yeah,
it was
three clubs.
You saw most of us.
Yeah, the third night at the Troubadour when Serge, you don't understand the things
Deathly
I and
sick.
The rest of the band went through. He was so sick. It was the last night. It was Sunday or Saturday. It was Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Saturday at the Troubadour, and fans are lined out up all outside. Like
right.
I'm talking about, you know, it was like 3 p.m. There was like 100 kids outside, and Serge lost his voice and had a fever and could not sing. And I tripped out, and I thought he was just maybe exaggerating the fact that he.
Well, I went to his house.
Well, I went to his house too.
He was green.
I had to go to Ozzy's house, pick up some medicine or something, something that actually might work. You know,
some sort of leftover
something.
From Ozzy.
Why did you have to go to Ozzy?
Don't
you
had it.
We actually got some of Ozzy's blood.
We
just injected it.
We
in
were
search,
tripping on
that would work.
Just to make him better as quick as possible, and we thought, you know, the greatest rock and roll guy. Let's go see what he does when he can't perform and he has to. So. Did not help. I went to his house. He was in bed. He could not even say a word. I felt so terrible. And then we understood, you know, and then we were like, how could we just not play? Everyone's outside already. And we had done something before on tour.
Right.
He had gotten...
For different reasons.
No, but he had gotten bronchitis or something.
Well, what about the basketball day?
Oh, that was different.
Yeah,
that was totally different.
But, well, let's segue this,
okay?
This is a segue.
There are a couple of stories.
Yeah. This was a
The first
really...
one happened in South Carolina. Okay, he was,
you guys are making me look bad.
We tour extensively. I'm talking about years, you know. And
at least
you know, you're allowed to get
shows.
Sick. And this is a vocalist, and his instrument is his vocal cords. And if you can't use him, you can't. My bass breaks, and I don't have another bass. I cannot play. Anyhow, He couldn't do it, and we didn't want to cancel more than like 3 or 4 shows, and we had already canceled a few cities. So we're in South Carolina. I remember Spartanburg, and I think Darren had this idea. He was a man of ideas. He was like, dude, let's have the kids come up and sing. And he's like, this will be like, you know, imagine if you were a kid and, you know, your favorite band or, you know, the band you're going to see, you can get up and sing their lyrics and be the singer for one day. So we did it in South Carolina, and it was a success, even though we fought with Incubus for for some small reason, and we made friends again. But anyway, and then we did it in Pittsburgh once because this guy was in D.C. playing basketball, right? And he got stuck in traffic, so we brought the kids up there. It was almost a riot.
Right. The best thing was, as we're getting off stage, Serge
he shows up. He's like, hey, what's up? I'm glad you guys aren't on yet. And I'm going, no, bro, we're done. And the stress, we were just waiting for him. There was cell phone wasn't going on. And it was like it was 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 40 minutes. The crowd's chanting System for 40 minutes, an hour. We're like, what are we going to do? Darren is like, what is wearing his makeup?
God,
Shavo. My mom's listening.
Mario.
I said, I didn't say anything. Anyway.
Mrs. Shavo.
Zip. So anyway, we played in Pittsburgh without Serge, and so we got kind of good at it.
Hold on.
Give the mic to the lead singer now.
That's enough of you.
There he goes.
Show up.
All right. Serge,
what did you take before coming here?
Man, he's so excited. I love it. Well, he's only been here for 30 minutes. That's why he's full of all
he's
the
been
P&G
here for 30
right
minutes.
Now.
He's already had six cups of coffee.
I've been listening to you guys, and I've been going, oh, my God.
It's great.
Well, you know, if this makes you feel better, he drops the S-bomb twice at the studio, too.
That's good.
What's you can't S-bomb? Walk into the bathroom for like a
What's
half
the
hour.
S-bomb?
Don't say the S-bomb word. The S-word. Oh, the S-word. All right, that's System of a Down, the guy's talking. Serge, you ever go to Laker games? Are you a Laker fan?
A long time ago, yeah, I am. I like playing more than watching.
Okay. What about, how do you think the Lakers are going to end up this year? A lot of injuries, but really, really good team.
No idea. I don't have a TV.
Really?
Yeah.
You have a radio?
I mean, I have a TV hooked up to a VCR and DVD, but I don't have cable or regular television. I find it too distracting.
Wow. Kyle. 23. What's up, man? You're on Love Line.
Yeah, hey, man. What's going on? I just wanted to say, System, you guys rock. You know, that's a kick butt band, man. I don't want to curse again, but I basically had a question for Dr. Drew, and my question for him was that, you know, in this day and age, you know, if you're sleeping around with different girls and whatnot, and say one of them, you know, you don't really get to know them too well, one of them might have like this drug problem that they kind of like keep a secret or something like that, let's say they just use drugs. Now, say just for instance, like you were to have sex with somebody while they were unbeknownst to you using drugs, is there any way that you could show up positive for the drugs that they're using just by having intercourse with them, like in a UA or something?
No
possible way.
It's possible for a woman.
Really?
This amphetamines are concentrated about 7 times more in the sperm and the semen than in
really?
Blood.
You can transfer it into them.
But for a male, no.
So there's no possible way? Because, I mean, I'm on probation and, you know, it's random drops.
Yeah, I understand. But you're using drugs. You got to stop thinking of ways to try to talk your way out of that.
No, I'm not using drugs.
Then you have nothing to worry about.
No.
What are you on? Kyle, what are you on probation for?
What am I on probation for?
Yeah, I'm just curious.
Just parole violation.
No, not parole violation. Never been inside, man. No, I had a drug problem, and what I did was related to that drug problem. You know what I mean? Just doing stupid things. But I really am. I've been clean for over a year, and I'm not doing drugs anymore. I'm not interested in any kind of drugs.
Then you shouldn't worry about it.
Okay, well, it's just something that I do worry about. You know what I mean? Because I wouldn't want to work so hard for something just to throw it all away like that. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Drew, you're looking
But he's in awfully focused on there being a positive test.
Well, dude, I mean, like, well, I'm sorry, not to call you dude or anything like that, but Dr. Drew, the way it is like this, you know. I mean, I really seriously had a problem with drugs. I know how that went for me, and I don't want to be like that again, and I worry about it constantly. Like, you know, what could I be doing? You know, like, you know, just simple stuff. Like, even if I kiss a girl after she's had a drink or something like that, oh, my God, what if they breathalyze me? Just, like, compulsively worry about it. I know it's, like, not a normal
These tests are designed to pick up people who are doing drugs. That's what they're designed for.
Not screwing women.
Not for kissing somebody who's been having a beer.
Okay. Right, yeah, it is screwing with me, man. I know it's like...
Yeah, just relax. If you're really in a program, go ahead and just capitulate to that and relax.
All right, cool, man. Well, thanks for answering my questions.
All right, Kyle, good luck.
Thanks.
All right, let's go to Francisco. Is that cool? Yeah. 16, Francisco, what's up?
Hey, man, I'm, like, freaking out here. System of a Down, you guys are awesome.
Sorry to call you dude, Dr. Drew.
That's all right. Everyone calls me dude.
Did the FCC take that out?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Dr. Drew, you're awesome, too. Not to be feel left out or anything. Just, I have a question for System of a Down. Me and my friends have a big debate about the meaning behind the song Mr. Jack. All right. In Toxicity, Surge thanks Mr. Jack for mass relaxations. And we kind of, you know, we assumed it was like, I don't know, a drug dealer or something, or, you know. But can you clarify, or?
Your assumption is more important to what you believe that the song is about than what I can tell you. So whatever you want to make out of it is cool with me.
They kind of want, but they want to know what the history is behind the song.
The story.
That is such the go-to, Serge. That's perfect.
I've been listening before I was here, and all your answers were really vague. And I was going, he could be president one day. Especially if they pass the new, what are they trying to do?
You don't have to be born in the country,
to be a president.
Well, so Schwarzenegger could be president.
But is there a history that you can talk about?
A history?
Of the song?
It's actually a secret.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, but
there you go.
All right.
There's a
third go-to.
All right, let's go to Sarah. Can we go right to Sarah? Is that cool?
Yeah.
Sarah, 20, what's up?
You guys as a band are like awesome. I can't even explain how great you guys are. And it's more than just a band. You guys are like a consciousness. And my question is, how do you handle people that are like, because I think that you guys are more than just a band, like, you make me want to question everything around me and all my surroundings. How do you guys handle, like, fanatic fans that are basically,
like Sarah?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know, like, it's weird, because more than just your music, like, I try to surround myself from everything from, like, Sir Art to Cool Gardens to Axis of Justice to, I mean, like, I don't know, like, I want to breathe you guys. Like, I don't understand. Like, how do you guys handle fans like this, basically? Fans, like, freaks like me.
I don't think that you're a freak. You're obviously very passionate about System of a Down, but you'll probably be passionate in anything you do in your life. You might just have that type of personality. And as long as you're taking positive from it, I don't think there's a problem with it. And I don't think you're a freak.
And I can relate with you. The way you feel. I said I can relate with you, because when I was younger, I mean, until today, when I'm a fan of something, I'm really a fan of it. And I can remember when I was a kid, I loved certain bands, and I did everything, and I got everything that the band had, and really drowned myself in it. And that's
right.
What being a fan is, and it's not being a freak. It's being actually passionate. And
right.
Don't look down on it. Look positive. And, you know, as you grow and as you do different things in life and have passion for them, you're going to succeed, because it takes passion to succeed. So, you know, good for you.
Were you guys a fan of Rage Against the Machine's music, statements, the whole vibe?
I appreciated what
Still
they did
a fan.
A lot. Still a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're around or not as a band, you know, Rage Against the Machine and a million other bands.
Right. Kevork, 16.
Kevork. Tom, a super smart guy, political.
You guys, big Lord of the Rings fan, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Me and him have seen two of them together. Mm.
Which is your favorite of the three, John?
John had another date.
I don't look at him as separate. I look at it as one movie. Just as when I read the book, I look at it as one book.
Got it. Cool. Gavork?
Hello?
What's up?
Hello?
Alio.
You're on Loveline. Speak.
Oh, sorry about that. Is this John and Serge?
Yeah.
And Shavo.
My name is Kevork, and I'm Armenian. Palevich Besek.
Love.
Loving, merci.
And you?
I'm doing fine. I had a question. I just want to know about your history while you were growing up, and how that, you know, shapes your songs. You know, what hardship did you go through when you were growing up, and this Armenian genocide? You know, I really knew my parents were listening to you guys when you were talking just about a second ago. And we really appreciate all that you're doing, and it really means a lot to us. You know, there are a few of us now, but it really means a lot. And I just want to know how your past, how your history while growing up, and the hardship, and what motif it puts into your songs.
Well, I wish, you know, Darren was here to explain that. You know, he does a lot of the songwriting, and he does have a lot of passion and history, and I mean, each one of us, you can ask each one of us the same question, and we'll have different answers for you. And so it'd be unfair to answer that question as an individual or as a unit, you know?
One way of explaining it is that all aspects of life are contained and enrich each song, whether Darren writes it. Darren does write most of the songs, but some of the songs written by you guys, I'm sure your lives have inspired those songs.
True.
And not necessarily just our heritage, but that also is a factor.
Cool.
If, I don't know if that answers your question.
But, you know, I personally grew up in Hollywood and, you know, saw what everybody else saw in Hollywood, and Darren did too, and we all have different stories. I mean...
we all have our stories.
Yeah, I mean, it's just life. Life influences art, and, you know, I've heard that said a lot, and I believe in it.
Cool. We're rolling right along here. System of a Down, John, Shava, Sir, doing a show April 24th, and let's talk to Jesse, who's 22. What's up, Jesse?
I just had a question. In the past, I cheated on the boyfriend that I've been with for almost a year now. And, like, we've stayed together, and we've been together for a while, and, I mean, it, like, he says that he trusts me now and everything, but I know it's hard for him to deal with the fact that I have a child, and I still talk to my child's dad, and, I mean, I cheated on him with my kid's dad before. And basically, my question just was, what can I do about that? Because, I mean, I still have to have communication with my child's dad in, you know, in a sense, because my child's 2 years old.
Shav already answered this. It's, you stop cheating.
Yeah, I stopped cheating.
Trust is built. It's not something
people
that,
like you.
Yeah. Trust is built. It's not granted.
Terrible.
You got to build it. It's going to take a long time. You've already violated it, so now we'll see how long it takes. He will either get over it or he won't. Uh-huh. And if he does, it'll take a long time.
Well, what can I do in the meantime?
Not cheat. That's it. Period.
Just communicate with my kid's dad, because, I mean, another problem is, like, he comes around, but he doesn't. You know what I mean? And so, like, we still kind of have our agitated fights because he's not, you know, there for her like he should be.
Who, the
with the child's dad.
Yeah.
And he's not there like he should be, you know? So, I mean, we still have our aggravated, like, you know, fights about it, kind of, you know, but...
Don't let that turn into sexual frustration.
No, obviously, definitely not at all.
Your boyfriend, or whoever you're seeing, cares about you, and he's putting up with a lot. You know, he's putting up with you cheating on him, and he's still with you. I personally would never stay with someone that cheated on me, but that's me. You know, you're lucky to have someone that's understanding and maybe a little bit more adult than I am.
Good answer, John.
We got to go to break.
We do?
Yep.
I thought we were doing 44.
40, 42, 41.
You want to do 6 real quick? Because I was just talking about Tom Morello.
All right.
Let's get that real quick. Hamed.
Hey guys. My question is for System. I want to know if you guys are going to do like a song or something musically with Tom Morello.
That's a good question. Something musically with Tom Morello, other than maybe stuff outside of music.
Yeah, on the 31st, we've got a show at the Troubadour for the Axis of Justice. It's a benefit show, and Axis of Justice is an organization that Tom and myself have started a couple of years back. It's a non-profit, and we're going to end up jamming and doing some stuff. I think most of my band's going to be there, and if not all, and we're not going to play a System set or anything, but just do some really cool, wacky stuff.
Is that going to be mostly acoustic or not?
It's gonna be a little bit of both.
Okay.
I hope not, because otherwise you won't hear anything if I'm playing.
Because you're gonna be killing them with the drums.
And I don't know how to play quietly.
Everything.
Nice. All right. Now we'll take the break, but I wanted to get that in. That should be cool. All right. System of a Down is here. More Loveline after this. We're on the radio.
That was funny.
What happened?
Nothing. We're doing liner.
All right. We're back on Loveline. There's
really
Shavo.
And
there
is your point in life?
There's John. And
where's Serge? Is he playing video games?
He didn't leave, did he?
No, he'll never get this, man.
No, he didn't.
He's playing with James.
Bitch.
That's a $100 fine right there.
No.
You know what? K-Rock can afford it.
You can't say that?
No, you can't.
You can say biatch.
Yeah, you can, of
so
course.
You can say, I'm Rick James, biatch. Hold
yes,
my drink.
Yeah. That's right, hold my drink.
But you know that's Samuel Adams one, though. Samuel Jackson.
Samuel Adams.
Look, we could talk for 2 hours just about the Chappelle Show.
You know who else I really...
Why do you guys get Dave Chappelle on here?
There's a great comedian. I don't know if you heard him. David Cross. Have you heard of that guy? Mr. Show?
Yes.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That guy is so great. I just got the DVDs, and it's funny because John and I were on tour one day, and we're in my room, and we're watching HBO, and it was the last skit. It was this... And we didn't know what it was. We didn't know the show or who it was or anything, and it was this gay rock band, right? And it was like a metal band, and they were gay, and there was this video. They were watching their party video, and they were banging each other, but it was like they didn't realize they were gay, you know? And the record company kept going, dude, you guys are gay, you know? And he's like, no, we're not. What are you talking? You know, they're hard rock metal.
Right.
And but all their videos, they're in a hot tub together and whatever. They were called Wicked Scepter or something. Anyway, so I was driving the bass of Bad Acid Trip home after a video filming, right? And then he's like, and he was, it was so funny because him and I still talk about that, you know, like, what show is that?
We never knew.
And he goes, man, he goes, you like comedy? I'm like, I love comedy. He goes, there's a show that's on DVD now. It's called Mr. Show. There's a skit. I mean, out of every skit, out of the four seasons, he goes, there's a skit about this gay rock band. I go, hold on. What are they called? Wicked Scepter? He's like, yeah. So he goes, it was Mr. Show, and I bought it. And
you love it?
I've heard David Cross on the radio. I didn't know his face. And then I've seen his face on movies and didn't know that David Cross was that guy. After seeing that, I went and bought his DVD, and he's just a really funny guy, man.
Do you want to maybe go out with him?
Yes, I'll date him. I am single now, guys. All you guys out there.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
But my main catch would be a striker because, you know.
Thank you. We get along very well.
Of course we do.
Yes,
we do. James, bitch. Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Wade.
It's 8 dates.
19, line 3. What's that?
It takes 9 dates. Striker's
easy.
First date at my parents' house.
Little linguine.
All right, there we go.
Hello.
What's up, Wade?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I'm in Federal Way. I'm actually originally from Alaska.
That's good.
And with this problem, the pubic hair on my testicles is white. It's bizarre, man, and I don't know what to do about it.
How old are you?
I'm 19. I haven't had.
Whoa.
Go
get some of that mustache bleach, whatever they do.
What?
Get the spray paint one that they used to have on the on the TV. And you spray paint your head.
Get a Flovia and shave it off.
Any medical illness, Wade?
Whoa.
No. I haven't been to a doctor since I was in middle school.
Did you get really scared one day?
You should go to a doctor and get a checkup for anything.
I probably should.
I don't know. Your ball hair turns white. I don't know. What happens? How does that happen?
Yeah, why does your ball hair turn white, Drew?
I'm not sure.
Go to a doctor, guy.
And Drew's a doctor, and he's not sure.
Yeah, that's not something I'd...
Is that one of the seven wonders
Wait,
of the
are
world?
They white or gray? Because there's a difference.
Sure. Sort of differential.
Let's go to line one. Travis, 16.
We forgot about the white bald hair guy.
Drew is running this board now. Look at him. He's so antsy. He wants to leave bad.
Drew is tired.
Drew already left. He's on phone.
He's got cell phone.
What's up, Travis?
Hey. All right. I love all you guys.
I love you too, man.
Thanks. All right, Drew. I got cracked. I read it. I bought it at the original price, like all the most expensive one. And I love your book.
Thank you, Travis.
Striker, cool guy.
Thanks, man.
System of Down, I got all your CDs. I want to ask you guys, which CD do you think best describes your overall style?
All three of them pretty much are good reflections on our overall style.
You know what it is? It's the time when we did them and where we were, and the next one will be where we are. And we just grow from everyone, and there's not one that describes us. It just each one is us at that time, I guess, right?
You're gonna forget your ring there, by the way.
No, I'm not. It was too heavy.
Remember, you were wearing that at Nobu.
Yes, I was.
And that the guy asked you about it.
He's like, "What's with that?" Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we don't. I can't say, "Oh yeah, System of a Down best describes us." The first album, you know, I can't do that. No one can. Where we are in the present describes us. So,
Oscar. Do you have a favorite song to play or sing?
No.
That just gets you crazy, excited?
Needles, for me.
Ah.
I get off on that.
Our new stuff?
Yeah, the new stuff. We played our... Should I even say it?
No.
You better not.
The new stuff is disturbing for
me. It's very exciting to play, though.
Really?
I'll tell
you. Disturbing.
In a very positive way, yeah.
He's positively disturbed, and his testicles turned white.
He's Oscar. The actual testicles themselves.
Not even the hair. The hair's still pitch black.
I'm just really happy with the new material. That's all.
Oscar.
What's up, Oscar?
Oh, hello? Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm kind of sick right now.
No, you just ragged on Shavo for something.
Hey, that's a personal joke, has nothing to do with you.
That was about somebody else. Not
hello.
Hello.
Sorry, John.
He's probably not listening. So hello.
Anyhow. Yeah. So my question is, I got a problem, and I don't know what it stems from, but basically I've been with my girlfriend for about a year and a half, and the issue is that every time she speaks about you know, going on a break or breaking up or something like that, I get really tense and nervous and, like, you know, I don't know, I just kind of, like, I can't really relax and I'm all anxious. But at points when I'm considering it, to me it's, like, no big deal. I think about it in my head and I'm like, yeah, you know what, whatever, like, I don't, it's not working out with me, for me. Maybe we should just go on a break or something, and I'm fine with it. But when it's her taking a position, taking a stand, I get, like, really tense and like, nervous.
Kind of
like
you're not in control. Yeah, exactly.
And, but is that, does that stem from anything? I mean, I'm...
No, it's normal.
It's a human thing.
Because I've had, like...
If it makes you feel better, that's how I felt when I was breaking up with my girlfriend.
Yeah,
when I was the one instigating the breakup, I felt much more comfortable with it than when she was unhappy.
It's very different having somebody leave you than you deciding you don't want to be with them. It's very different than feeling.
Definitely. You all right, Oscar?
He's fine.
Okay. Is Oscar still there?
No,
he's gone. Our time is up for the evening.
It is? Yeah. We're done for the evening?
No way. Well,
you've never been happier now, Drew.
No, I'm not happy.
You don't like us, Drew? What's wrong? What's
Stryker,
happening? You always enjoy us.
I can't say the words anymore, I'd like to say.
What?
Hey, we still have 4 minutes,
man feel
guys.
Bad.
No, I'm not.
Minutes.
No. I'm not
don't
doing that.
Don't touch me.
I personally feel terrible.
No. Yeah, I'm hurt right now.
Like that? I'm sorry.
Okay.
Stryker just kissed Drew on the lips.
No, Drew.
And now he's moving his way down his chest.
Oh, my Lord.
For the record.
Feels kind of good.
For the record,
this guy is, I beyond enjoy working with Drew and talking to him, and he makes me feel so comfortable. And this is not a super easy thing to do.
I've had a couple of good days here. We really have. This
Have
you guys been half of it?
Part of it.
Yeah.
But the knowledge that you've imparted when we listen to the show and helping people, it's badass.
That's great. If he wasn't around, this would be a comedy show.
And I tonight I was enlightened by Shavo's invitation to Adam Carolla. That was a great moment.
That was great.
That was
great. I want him to hear it.
Don't worry.
It's on tape.
All
right, now we really have to do a break, or we're going to get yelled at by somebody. I don't know who, because we don't make our own laws anymore, you bastards. Okay, more Loveline, and we'll wrap up with System of a Down after this. All right, we're actually running kind of late now. It's Stryker and Dr. Drew, System of a Down. Man, thank you so much, hanging out the whole time. You guys educated myself, probably educated Dr. Drew a lot because he needs a lot of help. But helping the kids, it was awesome. The show is April 24th at the Greek. It's sold out so fast. It's the Soul's Benefit Concert benefiting the Armenian Genocide. And is there any last things that you guys would like to say about it? And if you could do it more on the quick end than that, it would help us all out. But I would love for you to get the last word in on this.
Thank you for letting us do this, and we appreciate everyone's support, not on just this cause, but every fan that, you know.
Let's see everybody on April 24th.
Yeah.
That's it? All right, so for Dr. Mahalo. Drew, I am Stryker. I am not going to say that because he's gone. Yes, Shava?
We'll be back.
Good night.
See you later.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.